Good to be back at Mountain View this evening. I love and appreciate every one of you. Appreciate the visitors, as Brother Randy's already said. These that's come from home. These watching the service. Had several people this week said that they've been watching and listening, and I appreciate that. I'm going to be reading out of the fifth chapter of Exodus, if you'd like to turn and read with me. Now, I know that you've prayed for me this week, church. I know that you have. I felt the prayers. And tonight, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I need all the prayers I can get. I've had a burden this week for the lost. I've had it all week, but today it was just different. It just seemed like it doubled down on me today. And I had to do a lot of talking to the Lord today and just putting some things in His hands. I'm going to read you a story tonight about a king who is notorious in the scriptures for having a hard heart. And I was thinking this morning, there's some hard hearts in this world. There's some hard hearts in this world. I'm gonna say this, there's some hard hearts back at Stoner Chapel. And there's been some hard hearts right here at Mountain View this week. Preacher, you don't know. I'm afraid I do. Hard hearts. What I'm trying to say by that is there's people that has got God blocked out. Blocked out. And when people get God blocked out, it don't matter what you preach to them. It don't matter what you sing to them. Their own mama could plead with them. The bride can plead with them. And it won't work because they're impenetrable. And it's a sad, sad condition to be in. And I don't know altogether what can be done about it. Other than God's people praying for God to soften that heart up. I have seen God soften men's hearts in the blink of an eye. One little trip to the doctor, Tracy. You got it. And immediately their whole perspective with Sister Whitley changes. And I don't want you to do that. I would say tonight before I read, because I when I preach, I try to read and just go. If not, I'll whirl around all night long. But before I read this scripture, and let me just say this. Seek the Lord while you can find Him. When He's knocking, let Him in. Jesus has the power and the ability to save every sinner in this house tonight. Please, for goodness sakes, just don't turn Him away. If he bids you to come. Like I said, I have a burden tonight. It's a good burden. It's not a bad burden. It's a good burden. I pray for this burden. I'm glad He gave me this burden. I'm glad as we preached last night we can get on the mountaintop, Randy, but my daddy used to tell me all the time, and I've always believed it was true. He said, son, you can't help sinners up there on the mountain. You got to get down there in the valley with them. And I will do the very best I can to get down there with you. if that's what I have to do. So, you pray for me tonight. I may seem down. I'm not down, really. I'm not sad, but my heart is saddened for somebody. But in the book of Exodus, chapter number 5, this story kept coming to my mind throughout this day, and I just couldn't get away from it tonight. And so we're going to read this confrontation between the man we call Moses and the Pharaoh of Egypt. This is after 400 years of bondage. God sent Moses down to Egypt. And it says in verse number 1, "And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.' And they said, 'The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword.' And the king of Egypt said unto them, 'Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?' And Pharaoh said, 'Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens.' And the Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, 'Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tally of bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, Let us go and sacrifice to our God.'" Now you pray for us this evening. I feel like that's a place to stop. But I've got a few other places that I may read tonight in your hearing before it's all said and done. But I want to preach unto you tonight, God being my helper, about a God who makes himself known. A God who makes himself known. I'm thankful tonight, church, that I'm serving a God that has certainly made himself known. Amen. The striking thing about that, however, is that oftentimes down through the course of human history, he has been unknown. Isn't that strange tonight? It even says in the book of Exodus, "Unto this people, I was not known by my name, Jehovah." Many times it was said in and throughout the scriptures that God dwelt in the midst of darkness.
But thanks be unto God, I'm thankful tonight that He has chosen to reveal Himself unto mankind. And I'll go as far as tonight to say that I'm glad that one day He certainly revealed Himself to me. Amen. And ain't you glad that one day the Creator of the universe revealed Himself to you? Amen. I'm thankful for that tonight. But the scripture that I've read in your hearing, my friend, is the confrontation that Moses had with the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And when Moses stood before Pharaoh this very first time and said, "Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they might serve me and have a feast for me in the wilderness." Brother Roger, Pharaoh replied in this manner. He said, "I do not know the Lord." Now, if you look in your Bible, you'll see that the word Lord in that text is capital letters. That is simply because that in the original Hebrew language, the name Jehovah or Yahweh was considered a holy name, too holy, in fact, to be spoken out loud. Do you realize that? They called Him Elohi and Adonai, which means Lord, but they didn't speak His name. And my friend, and because of that, we have the capital letter L-O-R-D, but what He was actually saying is, "I do not know Yahweh. I don't know Jehovah." Hey, listen to me tonight, friend. That's important today. And that's important because the truth of the matter is, Pharaoh had a pantheon of gods. Yes, he did. Pharaoh had many gods that he worshiped in Egypt, my friend. He had multiple gods, and he knew their names. And he knew that, listen, that the Egyptians even regarded Pharaoh himself as being a god on earth. And my friend, Pharaoh was not what some people might think of as an atheist or a just flat-out non-believer. He believed in some God, and he believed in the gods. He might have even convinced himself that he himself was a god. But listen, the critical part of the text tonight is that Pharaoh did not know Jehovah. He did not know the one true and living God. And I know he didn't. Now, you pray for me for just a minute. What I'm about to say might surprise some of you. You might think it's a little bit peculiar, but I'm not going to preach anything to you that I can't get right out of the Word of God. And my friend, I'm going to tell you tonight that not up to a very short time before Moses came and confronted Pharaoh, Moses himself did not know who Jehovah was. And no, he didn't. I didn't hear a whole lot of amens out of that. But listen, the scripture says back in the third chapter of Exodus, just one chapter back, and that God came and spoke to Moses from the midst of a burning bush. Woo! Ain't you glad? And that we serve a God who makes himself known. And Moses was minding his own business, attending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, at Tracy on the backside of nowhere. But I'm glad that one day, I don't know what was on Moses' mind, but I've got a pretty good idea, and that he was seeking a God. And yes, I do. And my friend, you don't live in a land like Egypt for the first 40 years of your life and whoa, and see your mamas and your brothers and your best friends get whipped like a dog and die in mud holes and slime pits and working their fingers to the bone, and my friend, end up getting to a place and where you decide to try and take revenge into your own hands. Moses killed a man, folks, and before he was driven out of Egypt, buried the body in the sand and run across the desert running for his life, trying to forget about the horrors of slavery and bondage, and brother, and married a wife and had a little son and took up sheep herding and run out into the wilderness trying to forget. Whoa! But glory to God, God run him down. And as he was tending the flock one day, and he looked and saw a bush that was on fire, yet was not being consumed. And listen, and my friend, I believe it was something inside of him that said, I've got to go. I've got to see that great sight. And thank God. And listen, the Bible said that when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside, what did he do? He called his name and he said, Moses, Moses, and put off thy shoes from off thy feet, and for the place that where you stand is holy ground. And listen, and then God introduced himself. Yeah, for the first time, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, and the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he's the one that Moses had heard about. I can't help but believe, and that when he was a little bitty baby, a little bitty boy, his Hebrew mama, I told him about Jehovah. Yeah. And my friend, listen, by the way, and you know what I am means? It means Yahweh, but it, thank God, it means from everlasting unto everlasting. And yeah, wasn't there a preacher years ago, Randy, that used to start his prayer off by saying, from everlasting everlasting unto everlasting. And I believe it was Brother Griffin Crumley. That's how he started his prayer. And my friend, listen, this day, and Moses met the everlasting and the great I am. Amen tonight. And Moses had some questions. And he said, Lord, if you are God, and why don't you hear the cry of your people down there in bondage? And listen, God said, Moses, I have seen, I have surely seen, and the affliction of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their cry, and by reason of their taskmasters, and for I do know their sorrows. And my friend, this son, he said, therefore, I do send thee, Moses, and that thou mayest bring my people out of Egypt and out of the house of bondage and lead them unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And yes, sir, but now listen. And Moses finally met God. You know what Moses told Pharaoh when Pharaoh said, no, I don't know him. And listen, he said, but Pharaoh, you need to realize we have met with him. Yeah, thank God. And we have met with him. You know what that means? That means that God had revealed some things to Moses. He's a God who has made himself known. And he said, we have met with him in the wilderness. And that was before they had a tabernacle proper. That was before they ever built a house. And yes, sir, thank God he met with them. And yes, he did. And he made himself known unto Moses and Aaron. And they said, Pharaoh, you need to listen to us because he has met with us. And my friend, but God said, go down there to Egypt and tell my people. Now listen to me. They didn't even know who he was either. I told you, you might think I'm crazy. And they didn't know him either. And Moses said in the fourth chapter, he said, Lord, they will not believe me. Amen. And they will not believe me. And my friend, as a matter of fact, and Moses said, Lord, if I go to your people and I declare unto them that the God of their fathers has sent me, and they will ask me, what is his name? And what shall I answer them? Yeah. But I'm glad God said, you just tell them, Moses, I am that I am. Amen. I am that I am. And my friend, listen to me. And now I want to get down to my message. And for just a minute tonight, I'm going to run as fast as the Lord will let me go tonight. But listen, I want to bring a message to you tonight about a God who has made himself known. Amen tonight. You say, preacher, how do you know him? Because glory to God, I met with him one day. And yes, sir, they asked a preacher years ago, how did he know God was alive? And I believe his famous response was, Gene, I just talked to him this morning. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, Steve, and that I know the Lord tonight. And not because I'm special or because I'm any better than anybody, but thank God one day he passed by my way. And they sung a song just a little while ago that said, Jesus, praise God, is still passing by. They sung another song tonight, the choir did. Do you know? Do you know my Jesus? Have you heard? And that he loves you. Well, I'll tell you what the Apostle Paul said. He said, how can they believe except they have a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? Ain't you glad God's still calling men to carry the Word of God? Amen. Yes, sir. And my friend, listen to me. He's a God and that has made himself known. Amen. And not just to one group of people. Under the law, he dwelt among Israel. Yes, he did. He dwelt in his temple in Jerusalem. And my friend, but you know what? He put them there on that hill to be a light to the world. Amen. And to bring all the nations to the knowledge of God. There was a woman one time who we call the Queen of Sheba. And thank God she had heard of the fame and the riches and the wisdom of Solomon. And thank God she went a long way. And thank God, I'm glad when she got there. And what did she say, Landon? And glory to God, she said, the half I was not even told. Amen. He's a God who has certainly made himself known. And my friend, let me tell you what the problem is. And talking about Pharaoh. And my friend, most of the people that we come in contact every day with, and my friend, they'll tell you, and they believe in a God. Yes, sir. There ain't many people I talk to on a daily basis, and that don't tell me they don't believe in some God. And yeah, most of the time, Leroy, they'll tell me, I believe in a higher power. I believe in a higher power. I'll tell you something else might surprise you. There's a lot of people believe in an afterlife. Yeah, that's a very popular subject these days. People love to talk about what happens when you die. And I think most everybody believes and that something happens to you when you die. You go somewhere. And my friend, but you say, preacher, that'll do. And my friend, I'm going to tell you something it will not do tonight. And it will not do. You don't can't just know a God. You've got to know the one true and living God. Amen. You got to know him. If you don't know him tonight, you don't know my God. No, you don't. So listen to me. And these people didn't know who God was. By the way, do you know Exodus is the second book of Moses? Yeah, it's the second book of Moses. At least that's how it has been ascribed down through the ages. Moses wrote the first five books of what we call the Old Testament. This Exodus is the second. And my friend, you think about it. If Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, that means he wrote Genesis, don't it? And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I believe it is. did write it. And you say, well, preacher, how did Moses know what happened in the beginning? How did he know about God creating the heaven and the earth? I done told you. He met with him. Yeah, he met with him. Glory to God. And my friend, listen, I'm going to get to Jesus before it's over with. But really and truly, I'm already there. Because you know who Jesus is? He is the great I am. Amen. Yes, he is. You might think I'm just talking about Jehovah. But when I'm talking about Jehovah, I'm talking about Jesus. Yeah, John said in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Listen to me. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now listen to this. It said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. And the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. Ain't you glad we serve a God who has made Himself known? Yeah. Preacher, how did He make Himself known? When He sent to this world the express image of His person. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. Amen. Thomas said, Lord, show us the Father. And He said, Thomas, have you been with me so long at time and you ask me to show us the Father? He said, if you've seen me, you have seen my Father. And we serve a God who has made Himself known. One of the disciples said, Lord, will you reveal yourself unto us and hide yourself from the world and not reveal yourself? Glory to God. Thank God He has made Himself known tonight. And listen, if you don't know who He is, it's because you have chosen to keep yourself willingly ignorant of what the Creator has done. You've done just like Pharaoh. You've blocked Him out. You've hardened your heart. When the plain truth is right in front of you, the simple truth of God is right in front of your face, and you have chosen to look the other way, to put the blinders on. Oh, but thank God, He has revealed Himself. Thank God Moses met with God, and Moses had to write some books. He did. He had to write some books. Why? Because he had a people, a nation, a new nation, that was about to come out of Egypt. And they were fixing to become a people of their own with a land of their own. And they had to know who their God was. Amen. They had to have a refresher course. Yeah. And if you'll read the books of Moses, it'll tell you one thing. It will tell you that God was teaching His people who He really was. The key question, the central question of this whole book of Exodus is, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? Just who is He? And God took them all the way back to the beginning. All the way back to the beginning of creation, up to the point they were at then. And God made Himself known unto them. I could go on and on tonight telling you stories about how God revealed Himself. But let me tell you something tonight. Pharaoh didn't know who Yahweh was. He knew his gods. But he didn't know that God. I read in my Bible where a man named Paul, I believe you'll find the story in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts of the Apostles, where the Scripture says that the Apostle Paul came to a place in the Grecian world called Athens. Yeah. And when he arrived at this place, he went up to Mars Hill. And there on top of Mars Hill, he saw statues and monuments dedicated to the various gods that they served and worshiped back in that day and time. But as he stood on the midst of Mars Hill, the Scripture said that his spirit was grieved within him when he saw the whole city given unto idolatry. And he lifted his voice and he began to cry. And he said, "Ye men of Athens," he said, "I perceive that in all things you are much too superstitious." He said, "For among your carvings and your statues to your gods, I saw one. And this statue was dedicated to the unknown God." The unknown God. They had a monument for every god, but they had one for the one they didn't know. Just in case they missed one. Just in case they had overlooked. My friend, the truth of the matter is, they still people on planet Earth right here today that has served every god in the book, and they still don't know Him. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I think I'll just read it to you if I can find it. John's Gospel, Jesus was praying for His disciples. And I can't help but believe that He was praying for people just like me and you that would never see, but praise God, would have to believe one day. And He said, "O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee." You hear that? Jesus said, "Father, O righteous Father, this world has not known You." Ain't it sad, Randy, that the Creator God of the universe that has created this world and me and you and everything that is therein, and we still don't know Him? How could that be possible? That men and women, boys and girls, still don't know who He is. He said, "O righteous Father, this world has not known Thee, but I have known Thee." "Thank God, and these have known that Thou hast sent Me." You know how they knew? Thank God, because He met with them and He talked with them even after His death and His burial and His resurrection. He sat down with them and breathed on them and opened the Scriptures to them. And they said, "What? Did not our hearts burn within us?" Amen. When He opened up the Scriptures unto us. In other words, when He made Himself known. Joseph was sitting at the table. He had his brothers lined up around the table from the oldest to the youngest. And you know what he was waiting on? The right time and the right opportunity
to reveal Himself to them.
Amen.
Preacher, I just don't understand your God. He always hides. Yeah, He does. But glory to God when He unveils Himself. There's a message right there. When He unveils Himself and you see Him and you see what you've missed all along. You've been right there in His company and you didn't even know it. You've been walking with Him. He's been holding your hand and you didn't even know. Let me tell you something, old wretched man that thinks you got the world conquered. Let me tell you something, little young teenage whippersnapper that thinks you got that life by the seat of the britches. That unknown God is walking with you.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for Him, you wouldn't be here tonight.
Amen.
And when you finally realize He was there all the time.
Amen.
Jacob wrestled with the Lord all night long, didn't he? I don't know if he really knew who he was wrestling with. I tell you right now, I remember a time when I was wrestling with Him and I didn't realize who I was messing with until one day He overpowered me. Woo! And I said, my God, I'm not dealing with a man here. I'm dealing with God Almighty. He's got my number. Every Christian in this house knows what it feels like when the day you woke up and realized God had your ticket. God had your number. You just didn't know who you was messing with. You know, I hate to say this, and this has got nothing to do with anybody sitting at Mountain View Church. This is what the Lord gave me, so it must be for somebody. There's been preachers that announced their calling to preach, and they had no idea what God they was fixing to deal with. That's why they couldn't make it. I don't know where that come from. It must have been from the Lord. I ain't got nobody in mind, I promise you. If you think I meant that toward you, see me after church. I apologize. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people got a cat by the tail. And there's a lot of people got God in a place where they didn't realize just what they had a hold of till it was too late. I'll just go ahead and tell you this. Our God is a consuming fire. You play around with God, you're playing with fire.
Yeah, that's right.
You playing with fire. Pharaoh didn't realize that till it was way, way too late. When he finally realized who God was, I'm going to tell y'all something right now. Before it was over with, before the book of Exodus makes it to chapter 40, Pharaoh knew exactly who Jehovah was. Now, I'll tell you this. You want me to tell you who God is tonight? I can't tell you. Ain't that something, Randy? You ask me, preacher, tell me about God, preacher. I don't think I got the words. I don't think I got the words. Well, preacher, if you can't do no better than that, well, glory to God, I ain't got to. Because there's a Holy Spirit that works in ways that I can't do nothing. And if you don't hear this old foolish preacher, boy, then glory to God, maybe you'll hear the Holy Spirit when it jerks your chain so hard you don't know what to do with your life anymore. I'll tell you this, you playing around with God, you better wake up before you ruin your life. You're dealing with Jehovah. You're dealing with Yahweh. I don't care what you call Him tonight. I like calling Him Yahweh because that's what the name means. But praise the Lord, He's more than just Jehovah. He's God Almighty. There's been a lot of people come to church and they thought it was something just funny. I'll go a little bit deeper. This ain't got nothing to do with nobody here neither. Or maybe it does. I don't know. Hey, a lot of people come to revival, and when Thursday night gets here, I'm done. I'm going to tell you something. My God's got the power to change your mind.
Yeah.
You think it's just fun and games? There's a lot of revivals I got into, Tracy, and I couldn't get turned loose of them. I couldn't get turned loose of them. You ever got a hold of electricity? I'm going to tell you what it'll do. You get a hold of enough power. You get a hold of just the right charge, and you'll hold on. Yeah, and you won't let go. You can't get turned loose. It'll turn you every way but loose. And yes, sir, it will. And because God's got power, you just ain't realize who He is tonight. Well, they got over there to Mars Hill. And I think Paul had enough. Paul was from Tarsus. You know anything about Tarsus? Let me tell you a little bit about Tarsus. Tarsus was kind of like Athens, Greece. It was one of the places in the ancient world where philosophy and learning was top notch. Paul sat at the feet of who? Gamaliel. He was educated. He knew about the Greeks, and he knew about the Epicureans. He knew about the Stoics. The Bible said on Mars Hill he encountered both of them. And they heard him preaching. Crazy stuff about a resurrection and about a man that died on a tree. And they know what they said? They said, listen, let's see what this babbler might say next. Yeah. There's probably somebody come in here tonight. Well, let's let the old babbling preacher get it on out. Let me tell you something. You can laugh at me tonight. You can laugh at Randy. You can laugh at Mountain View Church. But I tell you right now, there'll come a day when you won't laugh no more. And there'll come a day when God will show Himself to you. He'll make Himself known. And when He does, you'll look back and say, oh my God, have mercy on me.
Amen.
I'll give you another example. I got a million of them. Y'all just pray. Maybe I'll find a stopping place. I see the Apostle Peter before he was ever an apostle. He's a fisherman. He went down there to the ship one day, tarried, towed all night long, didn't catch a thing. He come back and docked on the bank with his brothers, and there stood Jesus. He had no clue. He had no clue. Pitching him a good little fit about their failures and faults. And I can just hear Jewish people back in that day. How are we going to eat? What? How are we going to pay our taxes? How are we going to survive? God's forgot about us. There ain't no such a thing. God just, He has forsaken us. And all of a sudden, this stranger from Galilee comes up to him and says, hey, go out one more time. Go out one more time. Peter raised his voice and said, we've been fishing all night long. We ain't caught a thing. I'm tired. I'm going to the house. I know I'm adding things, and I don't like doing that, but I'm just trying to give you my thoughts on what he might have been thinking. I'm sorry. But listen, I know what he did do. He said, we've been toiling all night. Jesus said, I know you have, but just go out one more time. Yeah. Yeah. He said, well, nevertheless, at thy word, we'll do it. Yeah. He went out there and caught so many fish, I don't know if he could believe it. And when he come back, you know what he said to Jesus? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man.
Yeah.
I'm a fool. How many people has thought they knew God and they realized they're just a fool?
Yeah.
Just a fool. I got to bring my remarks to a close. I could go on all night. But I do want to tell you what Paul said to him at Mars Hill. He said, the God that you ignorantly worship, Him I will declare unto you. And he went on and he preached a good message. He preached a good message. Would you like to hear it? He said, God that made the world and all things that are therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything. Seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now listen, this is important. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him. Makes me want to shout. Feel after Him and find Him. This is even better. Though He be not far from every one of us. Have you ever seen something that was so close to you, you just couldn't see it? Something that was so plain and so evident that you missed it. That's God. That's one of the best ways I know to describe Him. Plain as the nose on your face. And a lot of people today can't see the forest for the trees. That's God. He's right here. He's right here. Landon, He's not far off. Everybody talks about going, I want to get to God. I want to get to God. I'm going to God one day. One day God's coming to us. You hear it, it changes every day. Either God's coming here or we're going there. My Bible says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and He shall be their God. You want to know where He's at? Right here. Right here. And you know what, folks? You know what's so sweet about it? This God who makes Himself known, He can do it each and every day on planet Earth through you and me. Through you and me. If we'll let Him. If we'll let Him. That's the message, Randy. Come get a verse. Y'all get a verse tonight if you will. A God who has made Himself known. He has made Himself known. I believe He's made Himself known to somebody here this week. I believe there's somebody that's right here tonight. God's made Himself known to you multiple times. Somehow or another you think you can get away. But I'm telling you, you can't. You cannot escape Him. He's everywhere. He's in everything. Because He's God. He's not just in one place. He's everywhere. Why don't you come to Him tonight as we stand together and sing?